Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
And I'm wondering how to be 60. It's scaring the shit out of me.
Hello all, oh yay, oh yay. We have good tidings on this week's How to Be 60 podcast with me, Kay Adams, and she, Mad Merry Frenzy McKenzie, because, and I will let her deliver the news.
I am a granny. Yay! At long last. Yay!
Oh, well, you say at long last.
Good.
As ever.
I know.
There is a story. But tell us, first of all, what do we have?
Got a wee girly.
Lovely.
Called Tulip.
Oh,
I know.
Lovely.
I know. A few people have said, oh, nice spring name. It's nothing to do with that, I don't think. They just looked up names and then they liked Tulip.
Oh,
and that was it. And do you know what? She looks like a little tulip.
It does, because you sent me a photograph. I think it must have been really early doors. And then, like I said,
yes,
you're going to tell us a story, because it kind of, you've had a bit of a week, haven't you? Honestly, and you know, it's not like me to be nice.
No, granted.
But you sent a photograph of Lisa and Adam, and it's the most beautiful photograph.
Isn't
she
it?
Does look like a little tulip.
Oh, be cherub lips. Just then. Oh. No, she's divine. You could just eat her all up.
So wait.
6, 7, 6.
Oh, gosh. Right. Okay.
Was it 6, 7? I don't know, actually.
6. You know, it's 6s and 7s.
Hey. Yeah. Granny, so started off with a bad news.
That was about 10 days ago, and then you went quiet. So what happened?
Well, what happened? So Lisa's waters broke, okay? So we were all excited. She said, right, am I going to hospital? And then she was sent home. And they said, come back in at 9 o'clock at night. Back in, sent home. And then I think it was the next day, she said, oh, I'm feeling pains now. Just to let everyone know, that's me going in. So that was in the sort of early evening. And I kept my phone on overnight on, not silent, but, you know, bzz, bzz, so that you can hear what's coming through. But so ding, ding.
Okay, and we don't need the details, you know, of that. We know that you like vibration. We've got that.
And my sisters had all started. Kerry, the oldest one, she wanted to have a sort of wager on what the name would be. So how many letters, 5 letters, 2 vowels. I was thinking, I wonder how much information I'm allowed to give. So all these names were coming in. So when I told
them... So you did
them,
a bananagram with the child's name.
Yeah. That Lisa had gone into hospital. And of course, Ag's in Australia just now. Kerry's in America. Christine lives in New Zealand. So they were all guessing. And by this time, it's sort of, you know, midnight. And then they just sort of start having a conversation through WhatsApp between themselves. And all I'm hearing is bzz, bzz, bzz. I just, what's it? Blank
them. Ditch the sisters.
Yes, I ended up sort of blocking them for 8 hours or whatever. And then the news came through at 1:15 in the morning. Oh, no, 1:45 in the morning that, Lisa had a wee girl, Tulip. And Adam sent a photograph, and oh, it's just so lovely to hear, lovely to hear. So the next morning, Sunday morning, I thought, right, do you know what? I'm going to start off as I mean to go on. So I texted Lisa.
And how
and
is
I
that?
Said, well, I said to Lisa, so Lisa, what do you think? I can come out just now or I can leave it? No, you tell me when you want me to come out, just because we know we're all down to see Tulip. And then there was no response for about what? 5 minutes. I thought, fuck it, I'm just going out. So I just said, sorry, I'm coming out, right? This is momentous. This is history. I'm coming out. So I went out, and you know what? They were all wonderful, except that they were examining Tulip every 3 hours, her chest, just to make sure whether it was her breathing or what. Well, I'm not quite sure. But they were just keeping an eye on her. So that meant that Lisa was going to have to stay in an extra day. So I was slightly concerned about that. But nope, they assured us that everything was all right. So we're waiting for Lisa to come out on the Monday, and arrangements had been made. And then the next thing, Lisa was burning up. She had a fever. and not feeling that great. But she didn't know that it wasn't normal not to feel like she had the flu. So she had sore back, sore, just everything was sore. And she didn't really send them to the nurses. And they then, of course, they take bloods all the time. And they said, "You all right?" And she said, "I do feel a bit sort of wrung out." Anyway, they put her immediately onto an antibiotic, an IV drip. And so that was the next thing. So Lisa's burning out. And now she's on antibiotics. I'm thinking, God, she's trying to feed. Is this all right for the baby? What's going on? And she seemed to sort of, for us, gradually worse. And of course, you're not getting feedback because you don't want to be texting all the time because you forget how busy it is there. There's the baby. There's everyone's exhausted. They've just been through this whole night of, you know, quite a difficult time, labour, whatever. And then the next thing is Lisa's got strep A and she's going to be staying in for another 2 nights. And then it was another 2 nights. And by this time I'm thinking, what is going on?
And were you not able to see the baby?
Well, actually, yeah, I did go out. I mean, I was in an apron and in gloves at some points because Adam, Lisa had just had the energy to feed, but not to change or not to get up because it felt like it was full on flu. And so they allowed Adam to stay over. So he was dealing with everything, like, you know, the changing and just comforting Tulip and just being there as support for Lisa. And Lisa was sort of feeding and then conking out. And
yeah, how was that for you?
It was horrible because when you go in to see her, you can't hang around because she's exhausted and you can tell she's exhausted and her face was grey and she looked so tired. And you just want to lift them from that. It was just so sad. It was not sad, but it was just, you just don't want to see that. And the good thing from my point of view was that Adam was there all the time, thank God, and great support. But he needed feeding and Tulip's clothes needed washing and you know, quick turnaround, get them back out, get Adam's food back out to his lunch. So I was able to go in every day, which was great, and see the wee baby. But Tulip was on an IV drip as well. She was on antibiotics at 4 days old.
Oh.
And you know, with a newborn, these tiny little arms, they're skinny little arms, and this cannula in there.
God.
You just don't want to see that. So then it was, yeah, she'll be getting out the Friday and then the Saturday. And then it's like, oh no, it's going to be the Monday. And I thought, something's going on here. This is horrible. But then Lisa obviously started to pick up and feeling better, but they did not want to let her out before. And it was absolutely.
And she got out on Mother's Day.
She got out on Mother's Day. What a brilliant present.
Yeah.
What a fantastic, couldn't have been better for both her and me.
So how does it feel?
I'm sort of kind of, I've left them to it since they've got home. I went down briefly last night with Stephen because Stephen hadn't met Tulip and to deliver some stuff. And I just, she sleeps. I'm sure Lisa would be, yeah. Hmm. She sleeps the whole time. On my way here today, Lisa sent a picture of her with her eyes wide awake. And it's lovely to see, but I have not seen Tulip awake. So clearly, as every other baby does, she turns
she's
night
not
into day. Yep. And every time I see Adam and Lisa, they look zonked and Tulip is fast asleep. So
what did the sisters think of the name?
Oh yeah, they loved it. So actually, Kerry had guessed it.
I've never heard of a baby called Tulip before.
No, neither had I.
But what did you think when they first suggested Tulip?
Well, I had guessed it as well.
Oh, had you?
Yeah, because I'd said to Lisa how many letters, and Lisa said 5.
How did you guess Tulip?
Well, I think.
How about Janet?
Well,
how about Fiona?
No, I did the whole surf. I went through quite a few,
Karen.
And then I think I came up with Daisy, and Lisa went, "Ooh," and I said, "Ooh, it's not Daisy. Is it Daisy?" And she said, "No," and I think she intimated it was plant-based or something like that. So I said,
"Is she vegan?"
No, and she said, "Well, it might be." I said, "Well, it's not going to be Tulip." And she said, "Why wouldn't it be Tulip?" And that was it.
And that was it.
And weirdly, Stephen guessed it as well. I have no idea why. And I remember Alex saying, "Am I the only person here that's not doesn't know this child's name?" But Richard and Linda hadn't guessed it either. So, and it was just one in a great long list that my sisters had produced. And I'd said to Lisa, "Ooh, do I let them know that they've got it right?" And she said, "Tell them one of the names in that long list is correct."
What would you have done if you hadn't liked it? I always remember my mum when I said that we were going to call Bonnie Bonnie. And I always loved that name. And she said to me, "Oh, Bonnie, she's a bit like a West Highland Terrier." And I said, "Oh, but Mum, I love that name, Bonnie." She says, "Yeah, but what if she's not?"
Oh, no. Your own baby, your own grandchild. What if she's not?
What if she's not?
So take a look at me, where she's coming from. Oh, and Bonnie suits the name Bonnie, doesn't she?
She does. But I'll never forget my mum saying that.
So was that with Charlie or was that with Bonnie?
No, Charlie. Well, see, this is the thing. Charlie was Ian's. I wanted to call the first one Bonnie.
Right.
But I was overruled.
By your mother or by Ian?
But by everyone. You just thought, well,
that'd be funny.
I thought, well, let's just persuade Ian that it's his. Which he is. So I thought, okay, yeah, let's get him involved, give him the name. And thank God I liked Charlie, though I wanted Charlotte.
I like Charlie better.
Well, she suits it. But then when it came to the second one, I thought, right, now I get my pick.
Yes.
And it was Bonnie.
They are great names, Charlie.
But I mean, my mum was not shy of saying what she liked and she didn't like.
Well, that's
so
funny.
If you hadn't have liked Charlotte, what would you have done?
You can already say it'll grow in me. I don't know, actually. I think, see, when you know the name beforehand, and maybe it takes a bit of getting adjusting to, but actually when you see the baby and then you're told that it's the name, I think that maybe makes a difference.
Yeah.
Because then you think, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think yeah, you're right, actually, yeah, definitely. Now, of course, what listeners really want to know is, did you take the placenta away in a fish box and dig it into the garden as you were threatening to do?
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
But let's have some love emails. First.
Yes, let's.
So everything is a wee bit different this week because it's just you and me. And I did a little bit of a shout out before Tulip arrived to ask other grannies how they felt about the experience. So
we've
got lots of emails of the week.
Oh, great.
Okay. So Mandy Dye says, being a grandma is the best thing after having your own children that could ever happen. Their love is unconditional and they give the best cuddles.
Oh, can't wait.
Anna said, have you not had a good cuddle yet?
No, she's been asleep the whole time.
Oh, right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I've held her.
Right.
Tried to get her arm around my neck. It didn't really work.
Anna says, hi, King Can. I'm just about to turn 60 in June this year and 19 months today. The best thing ever happened to me. I became a granny to my beautiful granddaughter, Bonnie Grace.
Oh, fancy that.
Another Bonnie. The daughter of my son, Ross, and his wonderful wife, Nicole. It's hard to put into words the feeling that I have, but it's amazing. And I love every minute I spend with her. I still have a very active and sociable life, but watching her grow up is so special as I'm less busy and stressed than I was when my son was young. I suppose you do hear grandparents say that they get the best of it. And
yeah,
I suppose because like you're not exhausted, you're not sleep deprived, you're not having to deal with your.
I think I was exhausted.
Oh, where's? Well, don't you start moaning for God's sake.
Yeah, had the cats to feed, I had Adam to feed, I had. Yes. Oh, I was completely drained. This granny malarkey. I thought this is not starting off well. Never mind Lisa and Adam and Julie, what about me? But yes, yeah. It is, I suppose it's. Sorry, Kay, I interrupted there. What were you saying?
It's all right, you've got baby brain. This is from Fiona. It says, hi, Kay and Granny Karen.
Oh, that's me.
Gran Fiona here. That's what she meant. You're now part of a club that I'm not in. I am a gran to 17-month-old and we have another on the way in April. I'm still relatively new at it. People that were already grandparents would tell me how much love you would feel for your grandchildren. Totally different from the love that you've got for your children. And I used to think,
oh, really?
How can it be different from the love that you have for your own children? Well,
isn't that funny?
It is, says Gran Fiona. You become completely overwhelmed by this little person and it is different. It seems like a more powerful love. I don't know if it's just because they're a piece of your children that you already love and adore, but it's the best feeling in the whole world. Good luck, Karen.
And enjoy
every minute of it.
That's lovely.
And are you feeling what you're feeling? Do you know what I mean?
I, I do know what you mean. And I mean, when I saw her, you know, you're welling up and it's like, can't believe this little being is here. But I guess I just want to be able to spend time with her. And I've got to take a backseat at the moment. So it's like when I got my dog. Everyone expected, don't you love your dog? Always in a grey and how could you live with it? And I was like, it takes a wee while. But I suppose.
So it's not hit you like a ton of bricks?
No, because I'm not in her, you know, with her all the time or not spending time with her.
I guess when the baby first comes, you
it's
know.
Overwhelming and it's lovely.
Yeah. And I suppose the mom and the dad, if it's or the parents, whoever the parents are, kind of put a bit of a circle round it in a really good way.
Yes.
So maybe it'll take a little while.
Yeah.
To sort of be part of that.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Maybe.
I think once Adam scoots off back to work, I'll yeah. be skulking around their flat doors.
Yeah. No, maybe that'll make a difference. Thanks for all your emails. We've got lots and lots, so keep them coming. And not just baby and granny emails. We do want to know also how the Big Sixer was feeling for you. Really struck by Maxine Laceby and Samantha Lee Howe last week, because for them, they're 60s. Genuinely were opening new doors. It was kind of like the best time in their life.
Yes, yes.
You know, which is lovely. It really goes counter to what the usual kind of narrative is. So if that's happened for you, then please do get in touch. podcast@htb60.com. And you can keep your granny advice coming in as well, because
it sounds as if,
I don't know, you won't need it. It'll be absolutely fine. What about Stephen? Because I was thinking he'll be a step-granddad.
Uh-huh.
And I wonder if that is different.
Well, he went down to, and he was desperate to go down and see Tulip to see her, but he didn't want to, you know, he was kind of biding his time. So, no, from the reaction, he was welling up when he saw her. It was so lovely. She's such a tiny little thing. And no, I think he'll take on the role quite seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah, because when we've talked about it, he's kind of like, well, you better not be edging me out. So he's quite up for it.
He wants to be involved.
Oh, yes.
Does he have grandchildren?
No.
So this is the first grandchild?
Yeah. Yes. Ah. All round.
Ah.
Yes. Adam's side for Linda. Yeah, I know.
There's going to be a bit of competition, though, isn't there?
I'm the nearest geographically.
Right.
And I'm she's my daughter.
Oh, do you think that gives you first dibs?
You wonder, don't you?
Well, does it?
Well, Adam's parents are in Newcastle.
And Linda, you're quite pleased about
Linda
that,
and
are
Richard
you?
Mistakenly moved to Prestwick, so.
So they're 40 miles away.
Why, yes.
And how's Richard?
Oh,
at
yeah.
At least his dad.
Yes, he met Tulip a couple of days ago, and yeah, very much the proud granddad. I think his papa is going to be called. And yeah, it's funny actually, because, you know, Lisa and Alex made it quite clear early on that they weren't interested in having any children. And
oh, did they?
Yeah.
Well, so you didn't expect grandchildren?
Oh my God, absolutely not. And accepted it. It was kind of like a bit sad, but accepted it's their lives. They've got nice, you know, social life. They like eating out well. They, you know, like fine wines. It's a shame, but you know, that's their choice. Nothing to do with me. And then I remember Richard, actually, we were out for a meal, all of us,
when those weird big
together, and Lisa had linked arms with Richard, and Richard said, you know, I'm glad you're not going down this whole having children.
Oh, he didn't. Shit.
Well, it was very soon after,
and it was.
But then Richard didn't want any children either, so I kind of basically sent him off to speak to his peers, who kind of, they all said it's different when it's your own. So I think he's going through the same thing again,
right?
But isn't that,
oh my God. I know. So what did he say when she told him that he was pregnant? See what I said about
yes, exactly. He's like, there we are.
Ian wasn't keen to have children.
Oh, is that right?
No, I mean, I definitely hadn't fought that one. No.
Ah, oh, that's interesting.
I remember when I was pregnant with Charlie, him saying, I can remember the rage that I felt for him actually this day, and I know where I was. And we were talking about the baby that was going to be coming, and I must have said something about unconditional love.
Yes.
And he said, well, not necessarily. And I said, well, what do you mean? He said, well, it depends when the baby comes, you know, and you know, what kind of child it is, whether you like it or not. I mean, it's not necessarily unconditional love. And I remember looking at him and thinking, A, I hate you.
Yes.
And
I haven't got a clue.
I just couldn't understand where he was. I said, it's your child. You have to love it unconditionally.
And I bet you.
And he went, well, I don't know. It depends what it's like, doesn't it?
Was he taking the piss?
No.
That's weird.
Isn't it?
And how was he when Charlie came along?
Oh, well, you know, yes. I mean, they both wrap him around the little yes. finger. But I mean, I'll never forget that. Just weird.
Oh, so, my God. I remember when I had Lisa and, you know, so you get to stage, you think, God, I wonder if another one. How can I love another baby the same way as I don't think I've got enough in me to actually love a child the same way as I love Lisa? Of course, it's completely different, but you just think.
Honestly, I had the exact same experience. And I can remember we just moved to this house and I was tearful for quite a while. I was really upset and Ian saying, what's wrong? And it was that I just can't love another one as much as I love
and
the
first
one.
And were you pregnant at the time?
Yeah.
Oh, isn't that funny?
I couldn't. And of course you do. You absolutely do.
Yes.
So what are you going to be called?
Granny.
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 Just granny.
Yes, just granny.
So is that, have you got the premier spot there? Is everybody else like granny two and granny three and granny maybe not quite so good?
Actually, Lisa texted me last night because she had said, what's Stephen going to be called? And I said, oh, Papa Stephen.
Papa Stephen?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. That's a bit creepy.
It's a bit like Papa Joe's. Is there a food outlet called
Papa John's?
Like that? Papa John's. Yes. Whereas
good pizza,
yes. Richard is just Papa,
right? Oh, see, there's a hierarchy coming here. What about Adam's mum?
I got the lowdown. Adam's mother is it Gran? Linda is going by Nan,
right?
Which is lovely. And Adam's mum's called Grandma,
right?
So then Lisa said, "Oh, I'm not used to using names as part of the grandparent moniker." But what does moniker mean?
Well, it just means a title, a name.
You have to go and look it up. It's horrible when your child is so much more intelligent than you are. Yeah. So Papa Stephen and Papa Richard. Mm, yeah, it's a bit funny.
Papa Stephen and Papa Richard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I'm quite glad with
and
granny.
And what kind of granny are you going to be? Have you thought about that?
Fun granny. I need to stop swearing. I'll be a fun granny. Yeah. And I will definitely do things with Tulip that I never did with my own children or didn't have the time to, because I worked full time. I wasn't there even when Lisa started walking, I don't think. But
were you not?
No, she was up in Abbey Moors. I know. And it was an Easter time and Ag said it was a wee present. I thought I'm going to give her a wee Easter egg. And I was like, she's 18 months old or 16 months old. Yeah, just a fun one, hopefully baking and cooking out in the garden, digging up worms, nice things.
The kind of granny who collects the placenta in a fish box.
Well, not good. God, I wonder if she'll find out about that. Well, she will, because hopefully the holly tree will be growing by then.
Oh, it sounds like it's happened. Let's have some more emails before we get into the placenta story. Are you prepared to listen to anyone's advice?
I have to say, Stephen, Lisa suggested, not did she suggest, maybe not strongly as that, that there was an NCT class for grandparents, a 2-hour online. Oh my God, what an eye-opener. So much has changed.
Did you do it?
Yeah. Stephen as well, we both did it. And it was just online, Sunday night. A lot has changed. Even the way the baby lies, the car seat's now in the back of the car. That's because of airbags. They weren't around in my time. Oh God, even feeding, like it's supposed to be on, you know, breast milk for the first 6 months. It was 3 months and I was straight on to kind of that funny little rice stuff. Something else for 6 months as well. Oh yeah, the baby sleeps in the same room as you for 6 months. Lisa, I was in hospital for a week and then she was in the other room. First night I got home. I'm not joking. There's nothing comparative. So everything's changed. So I'm really going to have to zip it.
This is going to be
the biggest challenge, Kay.
Well, listen, here we have some emails and it's funny you say that.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
So this is Deborah. So advice from Deborah, who is a grandma herself.
All right. Hi, okay. Deborah.
I advise Karen to perhaps keep her advice to herself.
You're bang on.
As social media has opened up a whole host of help and support for new mums, which was particularly useful for my daughter during lockdown. Most of all, enjoy the time that you have with them and make as many precious memories as possible as they grow up so flippin' quick. It's strange seeing your daughter with their own child. Right. But do you know what being a nanny is? The best feeling ever. And we've got one from Terry as well. What happens at grandma's house stays in grandma's house, she said. And she said, don't try and compete with Google, TikTok, etc. because you grew this human and they're still alive doesn't mean that you did anything right, apparently.
Right.
So are you going to be able to resist giving advice?
I have no idea. I met out with my friend Frida the other day, last week. She has, I think, a 7-month-old grandchild, and she's fae tariff. She's very forthright. And she said, I just hate to sit there and just zip it. Yeah, so, and I was thinking, Christ, if you can do that, well, I'm going to really try and do that. She said it's so difficult, so difficult.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to be able to manage that. I really don't.
Oh my God,
You're not only going to have to zip it, you're going to have to follow Lisa's rules.
Oh, now, what was it that somebody said earlier? What goes in granny's house stays in granny's house. Thanks, Terry.
Yeah, no, but you're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to follow her rules.
Lisa, if you're listening to this, and I doubt you will be, I will, of course I will. I'll absolutely respect your rules.
My mum didn't. My mum was terrible.
Sweeties, was it?
Oh, McDonald's. She used to take the kids to the drive-in McDonald's. And I really was, I did not want them to have McDonald's.
Yeah.
You know, the three of them were like this little sort of cabal of cheeky little imps or whatever. We've been to McDonald's. And I would be like, Mom, I did say I didn't want them to go to McDonald's. But you know what? I actually quite liked it.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, because the three of them had... I kind of bond. I mean, my mum turned into, as I say, this naughty little imp with them.
Lovely.
Because she, of course, my brother had kids really early. So by the time my two came along, you know, Jeff and Sarah were quite a bit older.
They'd grown up. Right.
And, you know, they'd had fantastic fun with them. But now this was another, you know, load of kind of small kids. And the three of them were just like naughty.
That's great, isn't it?
I quite enjoyed it.
I love it. Yes, yeah. I remember my kids used to go up to Aviemore for the holidays, for school holidays. I used to have to take them back probably about 5 days before the holidays were, because they were getting to stay up till 11 o'clock at night and just running, not running right, because they were good little girls, but just entertaining granny. And then she'd be reading them ghost stories. God knows how they were going to sleep after that. And then, so when they would come down, back down, they were wired because of the sugar that they had, the sweeties that they were given. They were just spoiled, rotten. But you know what?
They had a
lovely, lovely relationship.
I bet they've got special memories of that.
Yeah, they have. They have, and they remember things that I don't remember, which is really nice.
Yeah, my kids have got really special memories of my mum, which is nice. And here's a bit of advice from Lorna McLeod.
Mm-hmm.
Burying the placenta... Mm-hmm. That is going too far, says Lorna. Are you not worried that a fox will dig it up?
Ah, no.
So, did you or didn't you take home the placenta?
Yes, I did. And actually, one of the midwives, Amy, she was really, I think Amy was her name, she was really intrigued and said, do you do this often? And I said, no.
It's like Birkin hair.
No, I'm hanging around the hospital waiting for all those placentas to get in my garden. Good grief, no. And she was really intrigued and she asked what I was doing with it. And I said, well, I bought this holly tree. Oh, so they're good for holly trees. And I said, well, no, not specifically holly trees. And she was really interested. And I was telling Lisa, and Lisa said, oh, I know exactly who you're talking about. She's lovely and she was asking me loads of questions and she was really taken.
So how did you do it? What was the process?
Well, you know that had to be signed for, because I don't think they can just let the placenta go to anybody. So Adam had to sign for it, and then he had Googled it actually, and it said something like you had to dig it 3 feet down. Well, that wasn't happening because I've got the exact big terracotta container to put it in, which I've not done yet. And I went along and they looked me up and down and basically said, yeah, hold on a minute. Then they went away. I just need to get my superior. Went away, came back. Oh, yeah, yeah, we've heard about you. somebody else had their name down for a placenta as well. Not their name down, but somebody else is interested in a placenta as well. So there were two of us. So she came back with this box. It looked like a lovely cake was inside it, you know, a lovely big white cardboard box. And I opened it up and there was this vacuum-packed piece of flesh, I guess.
What does it look like?
Well, I've not taken it out of the vacuum pack. It's right. Got Lisa's name and address on it. It's massive. Like, I think I thought it would be the size of a fat pancake. It's like, I mean, it's, I would say, about 8 inches.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I was thinking, if you shaved off a bit and used it as a face mask, you could be like 25. Honestly.
I'll take it in for UK.
Well, yeah, I'll take a wee bit if there's a wee bit spare.
Apparently, it's really veiny on the other side.
Is it?
Yeah. I'll take a picture.
But you've not taken it out yet?
No, no, but I've been told that.
So where is it?
Oh, it's in the freezer upstairs. Well, I had to put it
the
straight in the freezer.
Beside exactly. The bodies.
Stephen wasn't too keen. Stephen wasn't very keen on me keeping it in the freezer, I have to say. So I put it upstairs in the upstairs freezer. Where the other limbs were, and yeah, it is labelled. Yeah, yeah, I'll not be eating it.
It'll be like a piece of tripe. Meat. I used to have a friend who had five red setters, and she used to keep a whole tripe, like a cow's stomach. She had two fridges, and if you opened the wrong fridge for your milk, she got the whole tripe. Oh my god, the honk
and that white stuff.
I mean, what has everybody else thought about it?
I think it's a bit quirky. I mean, I admit it is a bit quirky, but it's quite personal. I mean, it's...
And what are you going to do with it again?
I'll plant it. I've got my holly tree. That arrived. And what you do is 6 inches of soil, then the placenta, then another sort of 6 or 7 inches, then the holly tree. And what I will do is put a sort of grilling round the top so that the fox... can't dig it up.
Oh,
so
there you go. All right. Yeah. Well, Lorna will feel a lot better about that. You know, she'll just feel a lot better that the fox isn't going to get it. Right. Well, listen, I got you a tiny wee present for
Good
the baby.
God, did you?
I did.
That was nice of you. Yeah, is it for?
When I was at Luss the other week. So there you go. I haven't put it up to anyone.
Can I open it? Can I open
it? It's for the baby.
Yeah, I know that, but shall I wrap it again afterwards?
No, because it's just tissue.
But Lisa will be thinking, God, you've opened this. Oh my God, they're beautiful felt.
Oh, cute.
And
they will
slippers.
Suit a little tulip, won't they?
Oh, they're like little elves. Slippers, aren't they? Boots. Aren't they absolutely gorgeous?
Oh,
they're absolutely lovely, Kay.
And they're recycled cashmere, because I know what you like.
Cashmere?
Recycled.
Oh, wow. Is this from your own jumpers at the moth's
No, they're
not. Oh, my God, they're so soft and beautiful. Thanks, Kay. That's really nice of you.
I'm so beautiful.
I'm taken aback.
And actually, just another one, and then we're going to go.
Oh, I needed to tell you my story of Molly.
We'll do it next week. Okay. We've got Janet Ellis on next week, because I thought you needed some granny advice.
Yeah, well, yeah.
And she's an expert granny.
Yes.
But it is round about our 100th show.
Oh, my God.
I think it might be this one or next one. We are. Wow. And Helena, our lovely producer, who never gets enough credit, has given you that little present. Well, she's given one each.
Oh,
we've
wow.
One each, so there you go.
Glass region it's got on it. Oh, is that a glass? It's a beautiful.
That is what every granny needs.
Yeah, it's a Scottish raspberry and rhubarb gin, which has got milk thistle. That's what you take when you've got a hangover or when you think you're going to have a hangover. Oh, and a lovely tonic water and old fever tree. Oh, my. And what a beautiful bottle.
There you go.
Isn't it? We're going to enjoy that.
We are.
Wow.
We're going to toast the birth of Tulip with a lovely glass of gin. So, but actually, you missed the best bit. Lovely inscription.
Read. Oh my God, not only did you make it to 60, you made it to 100. Isn't that gorgeous?
It really is. Right, that's enough niceness. That's enough niceness. There you go. Right, we're off. Thank you, everyone, for all your advice.
Thank you.
Remember
Much
the podcast advice. Address. Oh, Karen, if you could please.
Podcast at htb60.com.
Well done.
Oh, yes, that's 100 episodes. Podcast at htb60.com.
Very good. And we'll speak to I love Janet Ellis.
Aye.
We'll speak to Janet next week.
Yeah, great.
Hi, my name is Kay Adams, and to be honest, I'm not so good with the aging process, so I enlisted my old chum, the filter-free Cara McKenzie, to advise.
Could you imagine being a porn star? The room would need to be really hot for me to strip off.
To be honest, she's not much help, but she is rather amusing. And along with some great guests, Joe Brand, Andy Oliver, Anton Dubek, Ruth Langsford, and Craig Revel Horwood, darling, we are learning how to be 60. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.